If you would, take your Bibles this morning, go with me to the book of John chapter number 2. John chapter number 2, and we come to the record of Christ's first miracle, Jesus turning the water into wine. And what an exciting story here, and no doubt some things that we can learn from God's Word. Now, I want to just start by saying and introducing this passage of Scripture. If you want to use Jesus turning water into wine as your proof text for drinking alcohol as a beverage, don't do that. You miss the emphasis of the Scripture. And I'm against folks using alcohol as a beverage. And I don't think it's right. I think it causes great grief in folks' lives. An old drunk spoke up and said to Warren Wiersbe, he said, Jesus turned water into wine. And Warren Wiersbe says, I do not deny that. He said, but if you're going to use Jesus as an example in that point, then you should also use Jesus as an example in all other points of your life. And if Jesus becomes the example that you follow, I'll just promise you this, you'll not be a drunk. I promise you this, you'll not be dependent on any substance to numb you from the realities of life. And Jesus should be our example. Another old coal miner got saved. He had been a drunk, and someone was giving him down the road and said, do you believe that Jesus turned water into wine? He said, absolutely, yes. He said, Jesus also turned wine into furniture and clothes for my children and a clean place to live. I believe with all my heart. And so if you get sidetracked here in this passage of Scripture about using alcohol as a beverage when you read the story of Jesus turning the water into wine, you may have a hang-up that you need to address. And we shouldn't allow anything to control our lives other than Jesus Christ. And that's what alcohol does. I want to read something to you. I don't hate people who drink alcohol. And I don't have to agree with everybody to get along and love them. Don't get the wrong idea. I don't have the right spirit about it. But we should avoid things that cause such trouble and grief. The Bible says in Proverbs, I want to read it to you on this same note. It says in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 31, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. Thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. And let's not use this great story and this great passage for the wrong purpose. I want to share with you some things that I think will be a help to you. And the passage of Scripture here, it exalts Christ as it should, and it also gives us some insight into some of the advantages of being obedient servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I read this passage of Scripture to you, beginning in verse number 1 of John chapter number 2, the Bible says in verse 1, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. We come to this great story, and I want you to see what's happening here. They're at a wedding. Here's some fascinating things. First of all, they're at a wedding, and who did the wedding party invite to the wedding? They invited Jesus to the wedding. Isn't that something? Look what the Bible says in the second verse. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. I want you to understand something, that Jesus should be invited to all weddings. Jesus should be invited into all marriages. And you shouldn't plan a wedding that you can't invite Jesus to. And I'll just tell you something, you'll not have a marriage that's happy and complete if you do not allow Jesus to be a vital part of it. So Jesus and his disciples were invited to the marriage. Mary was playing some role in this wedding. I don't know if she was planning somehow or some way, but she had understanding that they had run out of wine. And so the Bible says in verse number 3, when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Verse number 4, Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Now, don't ever think that Jesus was being disrespectful or rude. If you ever think that somehow Jesus was being sinful, you're wrong. Jesus was saying here, woman. It was not something that was like, woman, sit down. It was something more along the lines of mother, mom, woman. It was not a disgraceful thing to say. And he would not have disgraced his mother. Woman, he says, what have I to do with thee? He says, why should I be involved in this? My hour is not yet come. It wasn't his time yet to go to the cross and fulfill his work, but this is where it all begins. When I see Mary looking to Christ, and in a time of need, Mary said, we've got a problem. We're out of wine. We don't have anything else to offer the guests. When Mary had a problem, guess what she did? She went to her son. She went to Christ. She went to Jesus because she says, I know something about that boy. He can help us. Now, you know, there are mothers that have biased opinions about their children, and that's okay. I'm thankful for that. But I'll just have you know something. Mary never had a biased opinion of how good her son was that was inaccurate. She couldn't have possibly thought of him highly enough. But she says, we've got a problem. And so she says, hey, Jesus, we need help. Isn't that sweet to see the love of this mom? And her concern and her burden for her son continues. The Bible says in verse 5, his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. I love that phrase. It's kind of interesting to me. Jesus says, why are you getting me involved? Mom, why are you getting me involved? My hour's not yet come. And it's almost like Mary, she just keeps on going, and she says, he's going to help you. He's going to help us. And so she looks at the servant, and she says, whatever he says to you, do. And so that is our title for today's message. It's titled this, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. I'll just tell you, that is wonderful advice from the mother of Jesus Christ and wonderful advice for all of us. We should determine with all of our heart, soul, with passion, all that we are, to be obedient servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you willing to obey God? Are you willing to obey God's word? You may not know everything there is to obey. As a matter of fact, you don't know everything there is to obey. But you know what we should do? We should determine as God's people to become obedient servants of God. Now, these servants had no idea what Jesus was going to ask, but they were commissioned and they were told and they were encouraged by Mary, whatever he says to you, do it. Now, here's the question I want to ask you. We all want God to reveal to us great things to do for him. Do you want God to use your life in a great way? I do. Do you know where that begins? It begins by simply obeying God in the areas that you already know. We get this notion sometimes that I'd obey God if he called me to do something great and big, but we fail and neglect to obey God in the things that are small and simple. I love the story. I tell it often. I don't mind. It helps me. Preacher went and visited a farmer one day, and the farmer with the preacher there was beginning to wax eloquent. Have you ever been around somebody like that? He began to wax eloquent. He said, "Preacher, I tell you what, if I had $1 million, I'd give half of it to the Lord." And he went on and on. He kept giving his examples, and the preacher said, "I'm going to get him." He said, "John, if you had 2 hogs, would you give one of them to God?" The farmer, "Well, preacher, you know I got 2 hogs. And I'm not saying that God's calling you to give one of your hogs away or half of what you have, but I am saying this, that God is calling us all to obey him and to obey him in the things that are simple, obey him in the things that are mundane, to obey him in the things that he leads us to do on a daily basis. We should be obedient servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll find out as we study this passage of Scripture that it is to the advantage of the servants of God to obey Jesus Christ. Let's look at these simple things this morning. Number one, obedience goes. Obedience goes. Basically, obedience just does what it's told to do. The Bible says in verse number 6, Mary has just looked at the servant and said, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Verse number 6, the Scripture says, "And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece." Now, folks believe that was between 9 and 20 gallons. I don't know all the details about that. I have to trust folks who know better than I do. But somewhere we're seeing these wash pots that are between 9 and 20 gallons apiece. Now, these wash pots are kind of interesting. The Scripture says there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews. That little phrase, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, is important. Do you know what these pots were made for? These pots were made for washing your hands. They were made for washing your hands. And so the folks that attended the wedding, they would wash their hands and purify themselves ceremonially like the Jews did. The Jews always washed their hands. They always kept things clean. And so when it came time to turn water into wine, it's fascinating to me that the Lord Jesus decides and determines to use these stone pots that folks have been washing their hands in. Makes it taste better already, doesn't it? The Bible says in verse number 7, Jesus saith unto them, "Fill the water pots with water." Now this is so simple, but we must not fail to acknowledge it. "Fill the water pots with water." What did the servants do? And they filled them up to the brim. They filled them up to the brim. Jesus says, "Fill." Guess what they did? They filled. Now, I love this little thought. Not only did they fill them, but the Bible says they filled them to the brim. They filled them to the brim. Now, folks, when God calls us to do something, we should do it all the way. Some people have this notion that if we partially obey the Lord, then we've done a great service to God. But I'll have you know something. Partial obedience to God and God's principles and God's ways is complete and total disobedience. If you partially obey, you've completely disobeyed. And so this group of servants, when Mary said, "Whatever he says, you do it," he says, "Fill," they filled, and they filled it all the way to the brim. Do you know something else that encourages me about this? Every drop of water that was put into that stone pot was turned into wine. And every drop of effort that they put filling that to the brim became something that was profitable and usable. And I'll have you know something. You'll not waste any effort in your life giving your life to Christ and obeying the Lord, because what you give is what he's willing to obey. What he's willing to bless. Wrong word. It's what he's willing to bless. And it's a shame to think about the blessings of God that we miss because we fail to obey Him completely. We fail to trust Him completely. We fail to do what He's called us to do completely. Every drop that they were willing to put into that pot became something that was profitable and usable. And every effort that we put in our towards obeying God and trusting God and living for the Lord as His servants, whenever we just determine whatever He says to me, I'm going to do it. That's what God is able and willing to bless. Obedience goes. Obedience goes. Not only there, the Bible said in verse number 7, Jesus said to them, "Fill," and they filled them up to the brim. Verse number 8, the Bible says, "He saith unto them, Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast," and they bear it. So Jesus then said, "All right, now get it out. Now dip out of the wash tub." I think we need to call them wash tubs, don't you? I kind of like that. And have a little southern twist to it. So now He says, "Take it, now draw out of the wash tub and take it to the master. Bear, draw out now, bear unto the governor of the feast." The Bible said, bear, and then they said, they bear it. What'd they do? They said, "We don't know exactly how this has turned out. No doubt it's changed colors. No doubt it's different." But they take it out of the wash tub. They draw it out, and they bear it to the governor. You know what? There's an element of faith in obeying God. An element that we don't know exactly how it's going to turn out. We don't know exactly how God's going to use it or bless it. We don't know what is God up to. What's God going to do? How's God going to use this? But when God calls us to bear, we should bear. When God calls us to feel, we should feel. You see, obedience goes. Obedience goes. Now, as you're sitting here, every sermon should be for you. You should be sitting here listening, asking God to apply these truths to your life. What in your life needs attention? What obedience, what thing is it, small or large, that God wants you to do, and you know God has been prodding you to do? It may be someone to witness to. It may be tithing your income. It may be attending church faithfully. It may be joining the church, getting baptized. It may be, I don't know what it is, but God knows, and God's prodding in your heart. What is it in your life that God wants you to do? What's He saying to you? What needs to change? What needs to improve? What's God saying to you? And whatever He's saying to you, do it. Do it. I beg you, do it. Not because it'll benefit me. Not because it'll benefit our church. But because it's right. And obeying God. By the way, if you obey God, guess what? It benefits you, your family, your church, your community, your life, your eternity. And I just want you to know this, that when you do what Jesus says to do, obedience goes. Be sure you're obeying the Lord. These servants did what they're asked to do. They didn't know all the repercussions or ramifications of it at the time. But obedience goes. Number two, obedience knows. I don't always alliterate sermons. I don't feel obligated to, but this may help you remember the message. Obedience goes, and obedience knows. Look what the Scripture says in verse 9. The Bible says, verse 9, "When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom." Now, this is fascinating to me. The Bible wants to make sure that we know something very specific about who knows what. Here's what the Scripture says. The ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was. The ruler of the feast had no idea all that had transpired in the wash pots behind the scenes. But the Bible says very plainly, "But the servants which drew the water new. I want you to see the servants of God in a place of privilege. They knew what God had done. You know something exciting about serving the Lord with your life? Is over the course of time, you begin to know how God has proven Himself faithful as the product of obedience. You know that God's led you to tithe, and your tithing has come as even a burden, a struggle at times, but you know that God behind the scenes has blessed your service to the Lord and your moves for the Lord and the effort that you've put forth in obedience to God over the course of time. You've seen and it's become clear as a servant of the Lord that God is always faithful. How many of you as servants of the Lord over the course of your Christian life have seen the Lord prove Himself? Would you just say amen? Amen. And He'll do it again. And He'll do it again. And He'll do it again. I don't like to use personal examples often, and I'm not going to this morning, other than I'm going to give you this testimony. I've had the opportunity on many times to have to put my trust in God and obey His word, even when I didn't know how it would turn out. And time and time and time again, and I would even testify in miraculous ways, God has proven Himself faithful. And I know that it's real. Oh, it's wonderful. I'll just tell you something. If you're here today and you've been saved by grace through faith and you fail to obey God in your lives, even with the little things, if you fail to obey Him, you're missing out on what God wants to show you. He wants to show you that He's real. He wants to show you that He's faithful. He wants to show you that if you'll obey Me, that I'll turn washed water into wine. I'll turn little into much. I'll turn nothing into something. I'll use what You give me for My glory and to make You better. He's faithful. Obedience knows. Obedience knows. It's so sad to me that Christian saved people do not get to know how awesome God is because they're too scared or faithless to trust Him and obey. But these servants did exactly what He said. And the Bible says the master of the ceremonies had no idea what was going on, but the servants of God, they knew what had happened. Obedience knows. I wonder, in your Christian life, can you say, I know that God proved Himself because of this? If you don't have that experience, I want to encourage you to do something. Whatever it is the Holy Spirit is prompting you to obey Him in, obey Him and watch God show you that He's real. Oh, He's faithful. He's faithful. Obedience knows. There's a fascinating verse of Scripture in the book of Amos. I'll just read it to you. You may write this reference down, Amos 3:7. Amos 3:7, the Bible says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but He revealeth His secret unto His servants, the prophets. God shows His people His secrets. He shows us. The Lord revealeth His secret unto His servants. Aren't you glad? Obedience goes. Obedience knows. And finally, obedience grows. Obedience grows. It just gets better and better. The Bible says in verse number 10, and saith unto him, every man, now this is the governor of the feast, and he saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. What was better? What the world provided or what God provided? What God provided. What was best? what the wedding party provided or what God provided. What was best was what God provided. And so this man and the governor of the wedding, he says, wow, y'all saved the best for last. And it reminds us of a very simple principle, and it proves a very simple principle, that God leaves his best for those who leave the choice up to him. God gives his best to those who obey him. You know, the devil wants to put a little knot in your gut as a young person, that if I do things the Bible way, then I'm going to miss out. Well, that's a lie. That's a lie. God gives his best. Obedience grows. When you obey God, the blessings multiply. When you obey God, the joy multiplies. When you obey God, the satisfaction is richer. The relationship is better. The situation of life is far greater. How many of you, as a testimony, the folks that are listening in this message this morning, would say, I've tried it the world's way, but I found God better. If that's you, would you say amen? Amen. Me too. Amen. How many of you have no regrets regarding the times that you've obeyed God with your life? Would you say amen? Amen. Amen. Me too. You know why? Because when you obey the Lord, obedience grows, it blossoms. Obeying God, doing whatever he says to you to do, it's what blesses and changes things. It's the very thing that sets us free. Oh, it's wonderful to be a servant of the Most High God. I like this little story in the book of Luke, chapter number 5. Let me read it to you. Luke, chapter number 5. I'll begin reading verse number 4. The Bible says, now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, you remember Simon Peter? They're at the seaside. He says unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Peter was brought to a moment where it didn't make sense to obey the Lord. But he said, you know what? Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. The Bible says in verse 6, when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. What happened? When Simon obeyed God, God blessed abundantly. I'm not telling you that by obeying God, you're going to have health, wealth, and prosperity, and no sickness, no pain, yada, yada, yada. I wouldn't ever tell you that because it's not true. But I will tell you this, that if you'll obey God, you'll grow and you'll be blessed and you'll be happy and you'll have joy and you'll have grace sufficient if you'll obey the Lord. Maybe God's calling on you to forgive somebody. Maybe God's calling you to obey Him, and seek forgiveness from somebody. Maybe the Lord's calling you to obey Him and you fill in the blank. But I'll just tell you this morning, on the authority of God's Word, it should be the determined in your heart that whatever He says to me, I'll do it. Whatever He says to me, I'll do it. And I'm so encouraged to tell you today that obeying the Lord changes everything. Obedience goes, knows, and grows. Test the Lord. It may sound a little weird, but try Him. Obey him. And you'll find him always faithful. You'll find him always faithful. Obey the Lord. Whatever he saith unto you, do it. Let's pray.